Welcome to the weekly podcast from Harvest Ridge Church in North Ridgeville, Ohio. Our heart's desire is that you would grow in your love and devotion to Jesus Christ, and that these messages will strengthen your daily walk. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at www.harvestridge.net.
Can we go have some fun? Good, I hope so. I'm going to walk you through the book of Ephesians today, not the entire book. I'm going to look at the book of Ephesians, five benefits that come when we live a life filled with the Holy Spirit. We've been doing the Essential Sermon Series. Essential Sermon Series is about the basic beliefs that we have and the core foundational thoughts that shape our other thoughts as a follower of Jesus. And you know, there were a lot of questions I could ask. Week one, we declared that Jesus is the only way to be saved, and the reason is his resurrection proves it. There are a lot of questions I could ask, like, what does that mean? What are the outgrowths of that? We chose not to do that, but to stay focused on the facts. You can then discuss all the meanings of these things, but these are core values that we believe. Jesus is the only way to be saved. The Bible is reliable. It is a reliable book. Third, we're in a new covenant. The new covenant gives us freedom and life in Christ. And then today we're going to talk about what I believe a core belief and a core understanding of Christianity is that God has more. He wants you to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. He's got more for you than you can imagine. So a couple of things real quick. Out in the foyer, there is Dwayne. I see you back there again today. Dwayne's back there. He's going to be in the foyer today for Men's Weekend upcoming October 11th and 12th. And I encourage you to drop by and talk to him. If you're a guy, you're invited to the Men's Weekend. What ages did we say? 15 and up? 15 and up. You're invited to this Men's Weekend. It'll be down at Heartland. Should be a good time. I'm looking forward to it, hoping you can participate with us. And then, recently I've been doing some thinking, okay? I've been asking questions. Maybe you don't do it, but I do. Here's a question I have. Why does fat chance and slim chance mean the same thing? How about this one? Why isn't phonics spelled like it sounds? For those of you that don't know what phonics is, that means that you spell things like they sound. Yeah, anyway. Anyway, just some thoughts for you today. So we're just going to jump right in, all right? A couple years ago, me and my wife, in case you don't know, winter will eventually arrive in Northeast Ohio. It will happen. And when it does and it hits, there will be cloud bank over Northeast Ohio. There will be cold and there will be snow and we will not see the sun for 3 months. It's pretty much how it goes, right? So me and my wife, we take a trip about that time, and where we go is we go someplace warm where we can swim in waters and I can take my shirt off and we can enjoy ourselves. Well, one of the biggest activities we love to do there is snorkeling. Has anybody in the room ever been snorkeling? Wave at me if you've ever been snorkeling. All right, there are two types of snorkelers. There are life vest snorkelers and there are no life vest snorkelers. Do you guys know what I'm talking about? My wife needs I bought her a little blow up. See, we bought our own equipment because we like it. I carry it, so I never have to rent. We carry our own equipment. You get them $30 on Amazon, work fine. So I got my own bag, but my wife wanted a vest. So I bought her a vest, and she wears the vest, she blows it up, and she snorkels, and she swims around the top, and she looks at what's going on under the water. How many of you are that kind of snorkeler? Then there's the other kind of snorkeler. You know the other kind of snorkeler, right? They're the ones like me, no life vest. I'm going as deep as I can get to see as much, and I will spend as much time under the water as possible, right? If fish can be viewed from up here, they're viewed better down here, right? Anybody like that snorkeler like that in the place? All right, so we were snorkeling one day. And the water was about 20 feet deep, 20, 25 feet deep, and there was a reef down, and I had taken a big breath, and I dove all the way down, and I was looking at some fish underneath a rock down at the bottom. Do y'all know what I'm talking about? It's really cool. You get down there with them. You sort of feel weightless, you know. I tried scuba diving once. Not going to do that again. But anyway, I was, you know, down there, and I'm looking at the fish, and I take too long looking at the fish, right? And I need to get back up to the top, but I've run out of oxygen in my body. Y'all, does anybody know what I'm talking about? And I'm 20 feet down. My ears had already popped twice. So I'm like trying to get back to the top and I'm thinking to myself, I'm not going to make it. I'm going to breathe. I don't know what to do. I'm going to die because I can't get back to the top in time before I can't breathe. Does anybody know what that feels like? I can't breathe. That I can't breathe moment. It's a total freak out moment. Well, I'm there. And what I want to talk to you about today is I want to talk to you about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, when we think of it, we think of something freaky or weird out there. But the word spirit in the ancient texts of the Bible, ruach, if you say Hebrew, you got to say it with a ruach. I don't know, maybe people in the desert need to clear their throat all the time. Ruach. But anyway, ruach means breath, basically. Your breath, the breathing in and out. It means wind. It means spirit. It means breath. The same with pneuma, or the Greek word pneuma is breath. It is spirit. It is wind. And those words are interchangeable for breath and wind and spirit. Now, a couple years ago, I was reading something. They were talking about the Hebrew word ruach. Has in the original, it had no vowels. It was only consonants. So without having any vowels, there is no like breath stops in the word. So Yahweh, the name for God, Yahweh, without the A and the A, Yahweh would come out something like. And what the author was saying is that the word for God or Yahweh literally is a word that is designed to remind us 30,000 times a day as we breathe in, as we breathe out, we're proclaiming our need for God and the breath of God to be in us. And so what I want to talk to you about today is I want to talk to you about the Spirit, that daily momentary reminder that we need to breathe in. We need to breathe in the presence of God. We need to breathe out the presence of God through the Spirit of God. So with that being said, I'm asking you to stand to your feet in honor of God's word. We're going to read the verse that sort of ties the entirety of this sermon series together. And this verse is in Galatians 3:14. And of course, it's in the scriptures, which means the Bible would need to be reliable for us to get this letter. But then there's the three other sermons all tied up in this one text. So if we can read it, it says, He redeemed us in order that the blessing... So first of all, He redeemed us, speaking of Jesus being the only way to be saved, in order that the blessing or the covenant given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit, which is what we're talking about today. So the redemption through Christ Jesus is a fulfillment of the blessing and the promise of the Holy Spirit. If you don't know, in the Old Testament, there's a lot of promises, and I had to cut so much out of this message to get it into this time frame. But one of those things, I wanted to share with you all the promises in the Old Testament about the Holy Spirit being poured out on all humanity, and that was a part of what God is going to do in us and through us at the end of time. And that promise is a promise that is available to us as followers of Jesus, as a fulfillment of the covenant. God's penultimate goal is to live in you by the power of the Spirit. That's His greatest desire, to live in you and through you by the power of the Spirit. So, Father, I pray that today You would speak to us. There's no way in the world I can do justice to this text and to this context we're speaking about today, unless the power of Your Holy Spirit speaks through me, and I ask in the name of Jesus for You to speak through me and that our ears would hear, our hearts would open in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Before you sit. A couple weeks ago, somebody came. They visited the church. I talked to them afterward. They said nobody actually literally talked to them. Well, I tell you what, you sit in the same general area every week, and there are people around you every week. Now, those same people sitting near you every week are real human beings that have real thoughts and ideas and feelings, and some of them are really cool. I mean, heck, they're in church on Sunday morning. They're cool, right? So what I'd like you to do is I'd like you to take about a minute, and I'd like you to introduce yourself to the people around you. You may find out you actually like some of them because they're pretty cool. So would you take just a minute, introduce yourself to the people around you, say hi to them, get to know them for about a minute. All right, you can go ahead and have a seat if you would, please. So today we're going to walk through the book of Ephesians. So if you have your Bibles open, you might want to open Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to walk through the book of Ephesians, and we're going to find five benefits from a life lived in the power of the Spirit as we walk through. Now, I normally preach a message with 3 points max. I usually limit myself to 3 points, and it usually takes me all my time. Today, I've got. All right. So anyway, first one is sealed. Sealed. One of the benefits of the Holy Spirit is that we are sealed in God. Let me just say, first of all, that it is possible to look like a believer and not be one. Just because you're in a garage doesn't mean you're a car. Just because you come to church doesn't mean you're a Christian. So it's possible to look like a believer and not be one. So the church of Ephesus, let's go back and let's trace down, before we get into the text in Ephesus, let's trace down how the church of Ephesus began. And that story is found in Acts chapter 19. The Apostle Paul was on a missionary journey, and he comes to Ephesus. It says, while Paul was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. And he found some disciples. Now, this is key. The word disciple is the word mathetao. And throughout the entire New Testament, every time the word mathetao is used, it's used to mean a disciple or a follower of Jesus. So Paul came upon people thinking he was finding followers of Jesus. And when he walked upon them, he went to their church service. This is an abbreviated account of probably about an hour-long encounter, maybe a little more. And he said, hey, you guys worship differently around here. He said, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they said, Holy Spirit, we haven't even heard of the Holy Spirit. So Paul was looking at their worship service and saying, you guys are missing something. And he said, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? He thought they had believed, and he thought they had believed. So his question is, when you believed, did you receive the Holy Spirit? They're like, what's this Holy Spirit? And he goes, you know, back when you were a kid, anybody have those record players that, you know, you could play the record and then you would bump up against it, you'd hear it go, right? Y'all know what I'm talking about? Well, this is what happens in Paul's mind. Like, stop the wagon, back the wagon up. You didn't receive the Holy Spirit. You don't even know there's a Holy Spirit. What baptism did you receive then? And they said, well, we received John's baptism. Well, he replied, well, John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe the one coming after him. That is in Jesus. And I'm sure it took a little longer than this because he shared about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus and some of the prophecies. But when they heard the message about Jesus, what did they do? They were what? Baptized. The obvious next step to declaring your faith in Jesus Christ is baptism. And that's the reason we're doing a baptism class up in the chapel immediately following the service. Just take a minute or two. But we want you to take the next step of baptism. And next week, we're going to have a big old tank up here, and we're going to dunk people right here. It's baptism right here on the platform. This should be awesome. So on hearing us, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So these people now are believers, correct? They're baptized. They're saved. They're following Jesus. Nuff done, right? No. Apparently, the Apostle Paul didn't think that simply believing in Jesus was enough. So look at what happened in verse 6. He said, when Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues, and they prophesied. So something happened beyond simple salvation. They were saved. The Holy Spirit came into them, indwelling them, but something else happened. They had an experience with the Holy Spirit and spoke in tongues and prophesied. So there are 3 events that happened that day. Number 1, they believed in Jesus and they put their faith in him, confessing him as Lord and Christ. Number 2, they were baptized in water in the name of Jesus. And in case you're wondering, up until that time, people were baptized in the name of God the Father, or God, Yahweh. But when Jesus came along, they began baptizing in the name of Jesus as well as God. And Matthew 28:19 tells us the formula we're to baptize people, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So it's a baptism into the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And that was the baptism. And then there was a next thing that happened. There was an experience with the Holy Spirit. Something happened to them that caused them to be able to speak in tongues and prophesy. And that's not normal. That's a little weird. We'll talk about that a little bit in the future. But what's going on here is he didn't stop at salvation and baptism. They went to the next level of a relationship with the Holy Spirit that's tongues and prophecy. Now, this is reminiscent and intentionally calls to mind what happened on Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost. Remember, Jesus told the followers, the disciples, he said, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but tarry in Jerusalem until I pour out my Holy Spirit." So what happened was the disciples went into the upper room and they spent 12, the 12 of them were there as well as the others. There were about 120 total, and they're there in the upper room. And on the day of Pentecost, suddenly a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to do what? They began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. So there are two separate experiences we're talking about here. When you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit indwells you. You will not get more of the Spirit than you. The Holy Spirit is a person. He indwells you. And that's what happens at salvation. Ephesians chapter 1, here we are in Ephesus now, Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 13 says, "When you were included in Christ, when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, when you believed, you were marked with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance." And so anyway, a couple of words on this. I just want to break down the seal. Somebody gave me this. I used to loan books out a lot. And when I would loan books out, people would forget they were mine, I guess, and they never returned them. I don't loan a lot of books now because I figure that if you really want to read a book, you will buy it yourself. And if I buy it for you, then you won't return it. So if I give you a book, it's a gift. Probably not alone. Somebody, though, knew my frustration, know I needed to mark my books, so they're my books. So they gave me this thing. You know what this is? It's a seal. So you know what I do? I see, can you see right there? Is there anything right there? No, nothing right there? Watch this. Watch this. I take the seal and I clamp it really hard, just like that. Oh, what does that say? Like that. See, it's got KLC. It's mine. Yeah, it's mine. It's got my, from the library of Kevin L. Crow, KLC, right there. Yeah, yeah. It has been sealed. Whose book is it now? Yours. It's my book. And no matter what, it's my book. You know why it's my book? Because it's got my mark on it. And you know the only way you're going to get rid of this mark? What's the only way you're going to get rid of this mark? Tear the page out. Because this mark now is sealed on this. And when you get saved, when you give your heart to Jesus Christ, when you open up your heart and the Holy Spirit comes to live in you, the Bible says you are sealed. God put his seal on you and you're stamped. It's you're marked. So you're going to be, you are owned by God. That's all there is to it. That's all there is. And you can fight it all you want to. The only thing you can do is tear God out of your life, and you don't want to do that. Then you'd be stupid. But it's a promise. What is it a promise of? It's a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance. So the Holy Spirit is a little deposit on what you're going to get in the future. Anybody else like me? I go to the bank and I don't trust tellers. Am I the only person that's ever seen a teller make a mistake? You know what? So I get my deposit slip back. They give me a deposit slip when you deposit money. I know you all do it on phone now. Yeah. I don't trust that either. So you know how I do it? I go over to the bank and I put a deposit in and I check to make sure my deposit and my deposit slip is what comes up online when I check my banking account. Do y'all know what I'm talking about? Has anybody other than me found them to make a mistake? I have found a mistake. You know why? Because I check my deposit slip to make sure it's what the deposit. And if it isn't the same on my computer as the slip I got, I go in and talk to somebody and we get this fixed. And you know what the Holy Spirit is in your life? He is a deposit slip telling you that God has planted eternity in your soul. And every time you start feeling like, I don't belong, can't believe this, God, you've forsaken me, you can look at the deposit slip of the day you gave your heart to Christ and you know that you have an eternal inheritance and that was the beginning of the planting moment. Man, that's good preaching right there. That's good stuff. Ephesians 4:30, "Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. You are not, come on, there is a day coming when this world will need to be totally and finally redeemed. And you've already been marked. You know, people worrying about the mark of the beast, the mark of the beast, you know. Do you know the chapter before that in the book of Revelation that God goes through, sends an angel through, and he marks all those that are his? So if, listen, I'm not worried about the mark of the beast because I already got the mark of Jesus on my forehead and in my heart, right? I'm not worried about this stuff. All the world can flip out. I don't need to flip out because I've been sealed. How about you? If you've been sealed, you don't have to worry about it. Romans 8, 9. If anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. So the day you get saved, the Holy Spirit comes and lives in you. You will not receive more of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives in you. But there is a second experience. And that second experience is the empowering of the Holy Spirit. So I believe there is a moment when believers receive a supernatural empowering from God. This experience opens doors to the gifts of the Spirit, the gifts that you do not get without stepping into this experience. For example, Samson killed 1,000 people with a jawbone of a donkey when the Holy Spirit came upon him. How about Elijah? When the Holy Spirit came on him, he called down fire from heaven to burn up an altar and a sacrifice that was covered in water in the middle of a drought. Come on, that's a little different, right? Peter walks past people and the shadow falls upon him. And when the shadow falls upon him, they're healed. Paul, his work, and he wipes his head with a handkerchief and he throws it on the ground. Somebody picks it up and takes it to a demon-possessed person and they're delivered and healed because of that. Come on, can we just say that there is a little bit more power to be had in the presence and through God than most of us walk in? Okay. Second thing we're given is access. We'll come back to this in a second, but let's talk about access real quick. Because we're God's children, we're granted access into his presence. Ephesians chapter 2:18 says, for through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. We both have access. So we have access to God. We do not need to conjure up the presence of God. We immediately have access into the presence of God when we call upon his name. Romans chapter 8, verse 14 says, for those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you receive brought about your adoption to sonship, and by him we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children, and now if we are children, then we are heirs. We are heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share with his sufferings in order that we may share with his glory. Now this passage teaches us, what the two passages I just read said, that we are God's children and that we have free access to God. So when I was a kid growing up, I grew up in the South. And I grew up in one of those churches where they said, you go into church, you wear your Sunday best. Anybody know what I'm talking about in the room? Anybody at all? Wave it. Yeah, all right. So go to church, you wear your Sunday. If you were invited into the president's office, you'd wear a suit. So you should wear a suit to go to church because you're coming into the presence of God. Anybody ever hear that argument? Yeah, I had that beat down my throat. Killed me. All right, so here's the deal. That works great if you're an outsider going into the president's office. But what if the president is your daddy? If the president is your daddy, you don't need to put on a suit to go in and crawl on his lap, right? Am I correct? Yes. You don't need an appointment. You got dad. Dad's the president. I know if I were the president of the United States, my kid really needed me, I would say, excuse me, president of whatever country, I got somebody more important than you right here. Right? And that is access. And what we've done is, by attitudes and thoughts like that, we've made access to God's presence something that we do only in a church building once a week. And that is so far from what God has done for us. God has made it so that we can have access into his presence anywhere, anytime we call. What a great thought. You know, come on, think about this. You're at work, and that jerk comes by and starts that same thing, and you want to get up and just go, take that down your throat, you know, or whatever. All right, maybe you want to say, I wish you would leave and go somewhere else. Maybe you're one of those people. I'm an 8 on the Enneagram. I want to stick my fist down their throat. Anyways. Sorry. I make jokes, and I'm sure half of you have no idea what I'm talking about. That's all right. You'll figure it out one of these days. We'll go over the Enneagrams on Wednesday night in January, so you'll want to be in Wednesday nights in January. All right, so anyway, that being said, you know what? You don't have to come to church to talk to God. I'll give you a perfect example. I was in Walmart the other day, and somebody comes walking past. Hi, Pastor Crow, how you doing? I was like, hey, how are you? I'm horrible. And just right there on the ground, a whole puddle of it. What do I do? Well, come to church this Sunday and wear your best dress. We will be praying for you. Is that what I do? What do you do in the middle of Walmart? Come on. I have access to God the Father all the time. What do I do right there in the middle of Walmart? Clean up on aisle 3, angels. Come take care of this. Right? That's exactly what we do. In the name of Jesus, you know, touch right there in the middle of Walmart. You know why? Because I have access to God in all spaces, in all places. So why then do you come to church? You don't come to church because this is some special zone that God hangs out. No, you come to church to be with others of like precious faith who will encourage you when you're struggling. This is a place where we together lift one another up to follow Jesus, not some place we come so we can experience Jesus because it's the only place he is. Come on, I carry the presence of Jesus everywhere I go, and so do you, so we have access. All right, the next thing is we're strengthened. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16 says, I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. So there is a strengthening that happens in the presence of God. Do you ever feel weak? Anybody in the room ever feel weak? Like, I just can't do this. I just can't make it. Can't make it. I don't know how. All right. We'll talk about this a little bit more later on. But the simple fact of the matter is, I love Krispy Kreme donuts. Man, when they're hot. Oh, yeah. And if you get a cup of coffee, and you take your cup of coffee, and you dip a nice, hot Krispy Kreme donut in it while it's still supple, and you put it in your mouth, and it just sort of melts in your mouth. Anybody in the room know? Could I hear an amen from somebody? What are you, heathens? So donuts, yeah, you got to love donuts, right? Love them. The problem is, if I eat a donut, you know what happens to me 30 minutes later? I have a problem with blood sugar. So what happens is I eat me a donut. 30 minutes later, I'm laying on the ground going, I wish I wouldn't have done that. I got no energy. I can't move. So I work out with Dan all the time. Dan Jerome tells me, Kevin, the reason you don't put any muscle on you is because you don't eat enough protein. You need to drink more whey protein. I hate whey protein. Tells me I need to consume my weight in body grams of whatever whey or whatever it is. And I need to consume protein grams a day. And I'm like, oh, I could eat a Krispy Kreme or I could drink protein. Is anybody understanding what I'm talking about here this morning? Yeah, I can have dessert, another piece of cake, or I cannot, and I can eat a power bar if I'm hungry. But if I want to be strengthened, do you know what I can't do? Pecan pie all the time, then. If you don't like Krispy Kremes, if you don't like pecan pie, you are demon-possessed and you need to be delivered. No, I'm just joking. Southern boy coming out right there. All right, no. So you know what? I have a choice. I don't believe in dieting because the first three words scared me. The first three letters scared me off. I do not want to diet because I don't want to die, right? So I choose instead of doing a diet, you know, where I did that 3 days and I only lost a half a pound. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I starve for 3 days. Instead of doing that, there are choices to be made. If you want to be strengthened, you have to make choices every day for a long time period instead of 2 or 3 moments of, I'm going to do this now and not do it again for another 2 years when I get disgusted again. Are y'all following me? So this, I'm 52 years old. I am over a half a century old. I know I'm not 50 Cent, I'm 50 Crow. Anyway. Yeah, I dropped that one. My son's going, no, he didn't. Yes, I did. All right, so anyway, you know, over 50, you're not supposed to be able to add muscle, but in the last couple years, I have actually increased every single workout weight that I do. Last week, I lifted more weight, more times than I've ever lifted in my life. Last week. That doesn't come. You don't get strengthened through a one-time experience, but you get strengthened through ongoing choices over time. I tried that once. It didn't work. You're right. If you try it once, it will not work. You have to make life choices over time. So if you want to be strengthened in the Spirit, you have to wake up every day trying to seek the will of God, opening the Scriptures to let them speak to you, praying to pour out your heart to God, spending time at the church when you would rather be any number of places. You got to do these crazy things if you want to be strengthened in your faith, because if you don't do it, you won't be strengthened. But I pray that out of the glorious riches of the inheritance of Jesus, you would be strengthened with all the power of the Spirit. The next one is filled. There are two offers made in this passage. The passage in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. So I was driving down the road the other day, and I looked over and I saw a wine and spirits shop. What do you think they sell there? Wine and spirits. Why would they call them spirits? Because there's an option of two spirits you can fill your life with. You can fill your life with the spirits of this world, or you can fill your life with the Spirit of God. The spirits of this world will never leave you satisfied. It will only lead to destruction and debauchery. But there is a Spirit of God that if you're filled with, it will give you life and hope. And this is the Greek word here for filled is one that I've heard about for years. It means to continually be filled. It's an active present tense. Be being filled with the Spirit all the time. Continually be filled with the Spirit. And I used to ask myself, what does that look like? What does that mean? And, you know, I used to put a cup up here and pour water in it and say, that's what it means to be filled with the Spirit. But, you know, I was up at the lake the other day and I saw this sailboat go past. And I realized that's what's really going on here. That sailboat has a sail, and the wind is continually filling that sail to move it where it needs to go. And we are more like sails than we are like cups, because God wants to fill us with the Holy Spirit, not just once, but 1,000, 3,000 times a day, he wants you to move in the presence of his Spirit, and he wants you to be filled with the Spirit. And let's look at the last one real quick. Empowered prayer is the last benefit that I want to talk about. Ephesians 6:18 says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayer and request. What does this mean, this prayer and praying in the Spirit with prayers and requests? What does that mean? All right, so can I just break something down for you here real quick? I am a Pentecostal. I am a crazy Pentecostal from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. I was not a crazy Pentecostal until one day in a prayer room in 1989, when I walked into the prayer room one person and I walked out a different person. I've been a crazy Pentecostal ever since. So unashamedly, I admit I am a Pentecostal. I will tell you something else. I believe that God is bigger than us. Can we talk about something that I believe should be a core value here? If I can understand the height and the breadth and the depth and the width of God, and I can understand all his thoughts and all his ways, then I am God. God is not. God is actually greater than my ability to comprehend with my mind. Could we agree on that? That all of the expanses of the heavens that he sees at one glance, I can't even understand how big billions and billions of galaxies are, but he holds them in his hands. I don't know how he does it. I can't understand it, but God is bigger than my ability to understand. And my spiritual relationship with him, I've had experiences, but if I limit him, and I read a lot of the scriptures, I've read them all a lot, and I understand them. But I will tell you that there are things when I read the Bible, I've got no clue. I don't understand it. I will tell you there are things about prayer and relationship with God. I have no clue. I cannot understand it because my brain's about this big when God fills the universe, right? So if God is that great and I'm this little, then there are things outside of my understanding. So there's just some parts of my life of faith that are beyond my ability to box God in. And one of those is this empowered prayer. Romans 8:26 says this, "In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans." So apparently there is prayer that happens that doesn't use literal physical speech. Are y'all reading the scriptures? There is prayer that happens from your spirit that bypasses your cognitive ability to create words. The scripture also says this, 1 Corinthians 14:12, "For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people but to God. Indeed, no one understands them, for they utter mysteries in the Spirit." So there is a type of prayer that we pray from spirit to spirit directly to God. They call it tongues. Whatever that is, it is something that bypasses my brain and goes spirit to spirit. Is that what scripture says? Just saying. It's right there in your Bible. How about Jude 1:20? And I could go over all of this stuff all the time, and people are freaked out about this. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. Why are you getting freaked out about any of this? Because maybe there's a God that's bigger than your ability to control him. Jude chapter 1, verse 20, "But you, dear friends, building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Spirit. From these scriptures and others, I can say there is a life of power in the Spirit that most people never enter into. And the second thing I can say is, I don't understand it, but I want it." All right, can we, you know, this whole tongues discussion, it's weird. Would y'all agree it's a little weird? But hold on, if you're in this place today and you believe in God coming to earth, dying on a cross, laying in a grave 3 days and being resurrected from the dead, you are already weird. Why not go all the way in? Why stop on the fringes? Just jump in. Why not just be all the way weird? Here's what I know happened to me. I walked into a prayer room, one person, and I walked out a different one. I walked into a prayer room with no spiritual power. I walked out with a powerful life that is not under my control. And I will tell you, the gifts of the Spirit are only available if you're open to be moved by the Holy Spirit. There are certain gifts. All right, so how could you ever be using the gift of the Spirit speaking in tongues unless you've spoken in... Anyway. All right, y'all are sort of with me. It's all right. I know. There are people that say God stopped doing it all. I'm not going to take the time to talk about that today. But if you want me to blow that up, it'd take me about 5 minutes. I can totally blow that one up. As a matter of fact, it's in my notes here. We could handle it. But you know, anybody that says the gifts of the Spirit ceased, I want to ask them how they know it. Go read 1 Corinthians 13. Think about the word knowledge there. All right. Here's where we are. This is electricity. It's like the Holy Spirit. I can't see it, but it's there. Well, there's no electricity in this one. It would be this one. There is electricity in this. Does anybody believe me that there's electricity? This is plugged up?
Sure.
Right? Electricity in it. There's electricity. Does anybody really fully comprehend how electricity works? I mean, I can describe to you the positives and negatives in the ground and all that, and I can talk about the flows and, you know, wattage and amperage. I can talk about those things because, unfortunately, I've gotten stung by 220, and I know after that, I know a couple of things. All right? 110 and 220 are different. Don't mess with 220. But this is electricity, and it has power. And this is you right here. This is going to be you. You are this. What are these things called? Power strip. You're the power strip. And you got plug-ins, right? You got plug-ins. Yeah, some of you, the reason you're so stressed out all the time is you only got like 6 plug-ins and you got 20 things you're trying to plug into your life all the time. So you're always unplugging something, bounce up, plug, and you're doing this and you're stressed out all the time. Part of the reason you're having those panic attacks is because you're plugging things in that don't belong in your life. So maybe, you should plug in the things that matter and some of the others, let them go. So anyway, you're the power strip here. So what I got to do is I got to plug in, if I can find it. I get saved, I give my heart to Jesus, I get plugged in to the power of the Holy Spirit. But my light didn't come on. That didn't work. None of this stuff works. I'm plugged in, but nothing works. All the gifts of God are available to me. The power gifts are available, but none of them work. You know why none of them work? Let's look. Let's look at the scriptures. 1 Corinthians 14:32, the spirits of the prophets are subject to the control of the prophets. Can you go down to chapter 14, verse 32? The spirits of the prophets, do you know what this verse says? Who controls whether or not the Holy Spirit that goes into you gets to these? Who controls it? Who does? You do. God's not going to force you to do anything you don't want to do. You control it. So then what? Romans chapter 8, verse 5 says, those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on what the flesh desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set upon what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is what? Life and peace. So what this passage tells me is I have an intentional choice. I have a switch up here on my forehead. And this switch is, it's that I can either follow my flesh, Krispy Kreme donuts, or I can follow the Spirit, which is my whey protein, right? I can either follow, I'm going to wake up this morning and look and see what the world says on Facebook and Twitter, or I can wake up this morning and see what God says from the Bible. Are y'all following me here? I have an intentional switch, and that switch is my mind, and I control my mind. And when I turn it on, what happens? Thanks, Pastor Garrett, for picking a 1980s song for me. All the power comes on, doesn't it? What happens? I even have the power saw available. Why do I have all this stuff available to me? The reason is I have it available because I have a switch that I can choose to follow the way of the flesh or I can choose to follow the way of the Spirit. And that is in my brain. I can say, I will follow Jesus or I will follow my flesh. And there you go. The light come on again. Why? I make the choice. Whether I walk in the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, meekness, self-control. Do I walk in the fruit of the Spirit? Do I walk in the gifts of the Spirit? Miracles, faith, words of knowledge, words of wisdom, tongues, interpretation, prophecy. Do I walk in those or do I walk in, I think I'm going to say whatever I want to say today. I'm going to cuss somebody out and fly them the bird. Which one am I going to walk in? Which one are you going to walk in? The choice is yours. So here's how we're going to end today. I've been telling my kids this for years. I've told you this for years. You got the switch. So this is what I do on a regular basis. I put my hands like this. Why do I put my hands like this? What do I have in my hands right now? What's in my hands? Nothing. What do I bring to God to get His best? Nothing. But I've been sealed, I've been marked, I'm empowered. And I pray a little prayer. It goes something like this: Father, would you empower me, fill me with your Spirit? Would you use me today to build your kingdom? Would you fill me today with your Holy Spirit? Would you use me to build your kingdom? I don't know, maybe you're sitting there, you want to join me in this prayer. Maybe you want to turn your hands up just like this. You want to get all of your stuff out of your hands, all my worry, all my doubt, all my fear, all my control. I can't control anything when I'm an open-handed person. Father, would you fill me with the Holy Spirit now? I don't even control how that's going to look. I'm going to step into the freedom you have and the power you have and the authority you have. Fill me with your Spirit. Use me to build your kingdom. Would you pray that prayer with me? Could you hold your hands like this and pray? Father, please fill me with your Spirit and use me to build your kingdom. Father, would you fill me with your Spirit? Would you use me to build your kingdom? If you pray that prayer, God's taking you up on your word. He wants to give you all of this power. It's available. It's available. I'm going to ask you to stand with me as we end today. Baptism class is going to happen up in the chapel if you want to go be a part of that. I'm going to invite you to do something today. The band's going to play a song. As they play this song, if you would like to begin to seek God for that fullness of a life lived in the power of the Spirit, I'm going to invite you to get out of your seat. I'm going to ask you to move forward to this front. There's nothing magical about this front. It's an act of faith. But as you come up here, maybe you want to kneel down. Maybe you want to take a place of kneel. Maybe you want to sit on the floor. Maybe you want to stand. I don't care. But I'm going to ask you to take a couple of moments and just ask the Holy Spirit to fill you and reveal His power in your life. So, Father, I pray that today as we leave this service, we would not leave your presence. And that as we walk out of this place, we would endeavor to live a life filled with the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And would you fill us and use us for the building of your kingdom? Amen. Amen. If you want to come forward, come on up. These altars are open. God bless you. Have a great day.